They still see him as the guy who helped overturn Roe versus Wade. And they just love him. He's MAGA. It's the movement MAGA is like bigger than one position. And that's how Trump's been able to get away with everything, right?
Welcome to the Powers That Be Daily, Puck's podcast focused on the intersection of Wall Street, Washington, Silicon Valley, and Hollywood, and the players who run it all. I'm Peter Hamby. It's Wednesday, April 10th. Today, I'm joined by Tara Palmieri to talk about Donald Trump and abortion. Trump this week announced that he does not support a national abortion ban, angering many in the pro-life movement. But will it actually cost him votes among evangelicals? Tara and I also look at the Electoral College map and ask if Joe Biden is serious about putting certain red states in play this November. We'll discuss all that and much, much more on today's episode of The Powers That Be. Are you tired of sleeping hotter than hell? I sure am. I sleep hot. There's something crucial about sleep that eludes us when we're too warm, too uncomfortable, and too caught in the web of our own thoughts to drift off. And while curiosity fuels our days, science tells us that cool sleep recharges our nights. That's where ChiliPad by SleepMe comes in. Meet the bed cooling system that elevates the quality of human life through cool sleep. The ChiliPad bed cooling system is your new bedtime solution. I love it. It lets you customize your sleeping environment to your optimal temperature, ensuring you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. ChiliPad works with your existing mattress. It's a water-based mattress topper that continuously controls your bed temperature from 55 to 115 degrees, allowing your body to rest and recover. This isn't just about escaping the heat, it's also about optimizing your sleep for better health, more energy, and improved physical and cognitive performance, which I obviously need hosting a podcast. Chili pads are designed for one or two sleepers, so if your sleep partner likes to sleep at a different temperature, or you only need it for one side of the bed, that's okay too, and we know that's crucial. Plus, you can schedule automated temperature changes to trigger deep sleep. But when I'm at home, Chili Pad solves those problems. So trust me on this one. Visit sleep.me/powers to get your Chili Pad and save up to $315 with code POWERS. This offer is available exclusively for Powers That Be listeners and only for a limited time. Order it today with free shipping and try it out for 30 days. You can return it for free if you don't like it with their sleep trial. Visit www.sleep.me/powers because you're not just investing in better sleep, you're creating a better life. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to The Powers That Be. I'm joined today by Tara Palmieri, and we are going to talk about the presidential race. There's so much going on right now. I know you've been distracted by the eclipse and March Madness and springtime, but it really feels like the campaign is heating up. Tara, welcome to the show. It's good to see you.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Yeah.
Tara, the main headline I want to talk to you about this week is about Donald Trump and abortion. In poll after poll, on issue after issue, Trump leads Joe Biden on the issue of the economy, on the issue of immigration and border security, on the issue of national security. The one place Trump is less trusted than Joe Biden right now is abortion. And that's not a surprise. Democrats have been running on abortion hard since the Dobbs ruling ended Roe versus Wade. And Trump's been out there a little bit twisting in the wind. A lot of conservatives in the pro-life movement wanted him to come out for a national abortion ban. They wanted him to run on that and implement it if he gets into office. But he's also kind of been mealy-mouthed about it and saying, you know, he helped overturn Roe versus Wade, but he kind of thinks this issue should be left to the states now. A lot of people have been waiting for a clear answer on this. He came out on Monday. I won't say it was a clear answer, but he basically said at the end of the day, in a video he put out on Truth Social, he thinks that the states should basically decide what to do when it comes to reproductive health, abortion. That pissed off a lot of conservatives who, again, want him to come out for an abortion ban. Do you have any insight into why he sort of settled on this answer?
Well, first of all, they have been toying with this for a very long time inside Mar-a-Lago. Trump is very aware of how this could impact his election. And they know that this has a huge impact on swing voters, particularly college educated women. And Trump has, you know, tried to distance himself from it in a lot of ways. He's talked over numbers 15, 16 with his advisors, trying to figure out what's a good, you know, reasonable number. He's even said that Ron DeSantis's 6-week abortion ban in Florida was too extreme. And he's just been trying to grapple with how to win both electorates. He even wanted to wait until after the primary so that he wouldn't lose, you know, his core base in the run-up, you know, during the primary. He wanted to wait after he won. So this was, you know, a lot of deliberation. I think this is an issue that wasn't going to make anyone happy. But I think all of this is cynical when it comes to abortion. Like, I don't believe that Donald Trump is truly pro-life, or he hasn't been his entire public life, that's for sure. And the way that he's even talking about it shows that this is something that's it's calculating. And he, you know, he agreed back in 2016, he made a covenant, a pact with the evangelicals through by way of, you know, Prophet Mike Pence, that he would appoint judges that would overturn Roe versus Wade. And then it actually happened. And they're like, oh, fuck, this is really hard to deal with. How do we grapple with this issue that is very unpopular on the margins? And that's exactly how this election will be decided.
It does feel like he just decided it's too complicated to push for a ban. I'm also like not going to weigh in on what every state's issue is and just let it lie. That feels like the safest political calculation that him and his advisors really came down on. But the SBA, Susan B. Anthony List, Pro-Life America, Marjorie Dannenfelser, their president, came out and said, quote, "We're deeply disappointed in President Trump's position. Unborn children and their mothers deserve national protections and national advocacy from the brutality of the abortion industry." Lindsey Graham, one of Trump's biggest allies, he was one of the first people on Capitol Hill after Dobbs to come out for a 15-week ban, said he disagrees. Mike Pence, who's obviously not a Trump supporter at this point, called Trump's statement a slap in the face to the millions of pro-life Americans. But, you know, Tara, I'm curious, do you actually think that white evangelicals, anti-abortion folks out there in the country, I mean, it doesn't feel like they're just going to sit at home and not vote for Trump over this.
This is not Gaza. Like, this is not Biden's Gaza. They are still going to go out and vote for Trump. No. And he knew that. He made that calculation. That's why he waited until after the primary. And even in the primary, if he made this decision, I still think that they would support Trump. But what are they going to choose, Biden? I mean, this isn't a protest vote moment for them. They still see him as the guy who helped overturn Roe versus Wade and they just love him. The movement MAGA is like bigger than one position. And that's how Trump's been able to get away with everything, right?
I think like 3/4 of white evangelicals voted for Trump in 2020. And it was like higher than that in 2016. I mean, it feels like they've made their bargain with him regardless. They're not going to suddenly like vote for Joe Biden or not sit at home. I do think one thing that's interesting though is, and we've seen this already from the Biden campaign this week in the wake of Trump's comments, is what they can do is they can point to the abortion restrictions in Arizona or Florida or North Carolina, and they can try to stick all of those on Trump, you know, and even ones that aren't in swing states. They can cut an ad with a woman from Texas who suffered because of the restrictions there and run that. And so the entire panorama of restrictive abortion laws that have been passed since Dobbs, the Biden campaign is going to try to make Trump own all of those. But that's also not different than what they've been doing since Dobbs got overturned.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I've been getting messages from like party flax being like, when are you going to ask him how he feels about his own state of Florida? You know what I mean? Like, which I'm sure you've heard the same as well. Well, we know how he feels. He thinks it's too extreme. But at the same time, I mean, he hasn't said that publicly, but I'm sure at some point he will have to answer that, though who knows with Trump. But I agree with you. I think it turbocharges adding these ballot initiatives, these abortion ballot initiatives, which could help Democrats. But I don't think that having a ballot initiative in Florida is ultimately going to turn it blue, as even though the Biden campaign manager, Julie Chavez, put out a statement being like, Florida is in play now. It's like, it's not in play. But I mean, I think ultimately it will help activate their voters. I mean, do you see in which Florida is actually in play?
I do want to ask you about that after the break. For sure, Tara, I want to go a little bit into the battleground state map and talk about that Florida claim from the Biden campaign. But,
crazy.
If you look at Arizona, though, is a good example of a place where signatures have been collected. I think they've met the threshold basically put a measure on the ballot that would, add a constitutional right to an abortion in Arizona. They passed a law, Republicans in the state, banning abortion after 15 weeks. So yeah, I mean, that's a good example of a ballot measure and a down ballot race that can help Biden and Kamala Harris from the bottom up. Tara, I want to take a quick break. And when we come back, talk a little bit more about campaign fundraising, what's going on in the battleground states, and what is up with the polls these days. We'll be right back. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/powersthatbe, netsuite.com/powersthatbe. That's netsuite.com/powersthatbe.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Powers That Be, everybody. I'm talking about the presidential race with my pal and colleague, Tara Palmieri. Tara, there are two states that Trump won in 2020 and 2016 that the Biden campaign has said they're going to compete in. One of them is North Carolina. The Biden campaign says they're going to open a bunch of field offices in North Carolina. Polls show, I think the Wall Street Journal had Biden losing North Carolina by like 5 points or something. But the Biden campaign is making investments that feel real in North Carolina. Kamala Harris visited there last week. They also said, as you mentioned before the break, that they're going to play ball in Florida. Let's just go over that for a moment, because I think you spend more time in the greater Palm Beach area than most of our Puck colleagues. That feels like what we call a head fake. Like they'll do like a $300,000 digital ad buy in Florida, say they're competing there, but it's really just like a media play to call attention to, you know, Florida's restrictive abortion law, perhaps. But it doesn't feel like Florida is in play for Joe Biden in any way, does it?
No. I mean, you've got two Republicans in the Senate, governor who's very conservative, like up and down the ballot. He's even done all right in Miami-Dade, like only losing by single digits, right? This is not typically how a Republican would do in that county. So I don't think it's in play at all. But, you know, they have an enthusiasm gap they're dealing with right now, don't you think, Peter? I mean, they're not working with the best product right now. So, and I think these are states they have their eyes on. Like every year it feels like Texas, maybe this year the Texas is Florida, is North Carolina. It's their white whale they decided to just dump money into. But you're right, if it's a $300,000 digital ad buy, it's just, you know, it's a day of press. But I think everybody who saw that Biden Harris email from the, you know, from their campaign saying Florida is now in play because of this abortion ballot measure, collective eye roll. That's not what's going to happen. But you know.
I think another dynamic going on here is that the Biden campaign, this is partly the power of incumbency, has a lot more money than Trump. Yes. So the Biden campaign, according to them, they're beginning April with $192 million in the bank. Trump and the RNC are beginning April with $93 million in the bank. So $100 million more for Biden. And what that does is it allows you to, even if it's a head fake, you can spread the map out a little bit, make Trump play in places he might not think he needs to play. Trump was also having to spend money on his own personal legal bills. So he's like raising money for that, which is a time suck. And so, look, I don't think the Biden campaign is going to compete that hard in Florida. But, you know, you can throw some money at this state and that state and force the Trump campaign to sort of move in that direction. I think the Trump campaign is pretty disciplined this cycle. I don't think they're going to fall for every head fake. But the Biden campaign can afford to experiment.
Make them a little nervous. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe, and then they can say, we're just laying groundwork for our party in the future, which is really something like Democrats haven't done from the ground up, but now they're starting to do, I guess. But I don't know. It does seem like a lot of wasted money when you look back on some of the head fakes in the past. But they seem to believe that they're going to have that money coming. I mean, there was one data point that I saw about Trump's big fundraiser. So as we know, Biden raised $25 million at that fundraiser with Obama and Clinton at Radio City Music Hall. Big event. Stephen Colbert, tons of celebrities. They raised $25 million. It's the most ever raised in a fundraiser and one night, right? So a week later, Trump bests them, right? And raised $51 million in one night. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, they're doing the game, the money game, trying to best each other. But one interesting detail that I learned from the Trump part of it is that all of those donors, those billionaires that were, it was John Paulson, you know, the hedge fund billionaire who wants to be Treasury Secretary. He held the event for Trump at his house in Palm Beach. They all maxed out. So he can't take another $1 million from each one of them. I mean, they could always start their own little super PACs or give to this and that, but it's like, yes, you might not be able to have that moment again to be like, here's that big donation. Whereas on Biden's side, they didn't max out. I think the most you could give you could pay for in a ticket was like $250,000 or $500,000. So there were fewer maxed out donors for the Radio City Music Hall, and I guess they're trying to make the point that like there's a lot more opportunity for Biden down the line, whereas Trump may be draining a very small group of, you know, high dollar donors. And even though he's always had his low dollar donors excited, he's got to work that orchestra too.
Yeah, I was unprepared heading into this cycle how much of a fundraising challenge Trump would actually have, but I think you just illustrated it actually. All right, Tara, thank you for joining me. Thank you for your insight as always. And thank you for playing our resident Florida woman on the Powers That Be. All right. Thank you, Tara.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Powers That Be. As a reminder, The Powers That Be is the official podcast of Puck. We'd like to thank Ben Landy, Liz Goff, and Alex Bigler for their editorial and production guidance. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. It really helps us keep delivering the inside scoop that only Puck can offer. Follow us on Twitter at Puck News. I'm Ben Landy. See you tomorrow. This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes wherever you get your podcasts. The Powers That Be Daily is executive produced by John Kelly, co-founder of Puck, Bob Tabador, and Ben Landy, executive editor at Puck.